Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Super salesperson always finds out what their prospect really wants, why their prospect is not getting what they want, and how bad their prospect really wants to change. Rule of thumb, if at any time during a sales process they feel like they are selling or the prospect feels like they're being sold, something in the process is incorrect. So something could be starting off with your state of mind or energy. Okay, that's usually what it is. Your energy is supposed to control the frame. People will follow your energy. You remember now, you're the one that's selling, so you should be the expert. You should be the person in the position of being the expert. You should see yourself as the expert, and you should behave as the expert. Because people are going to follow that. One of the ways that I like to view this, to really cut to the chase, because everything that I do is about how can we get there in the shortest period of time, right? How can we cut out all the BS and the crap and really get there to the shortest period of time? And so you have to look at what's not necessary. What is absolutely not necessary? So if you look at how a person makes a decision to buy, if you find the right urgency, you find out that 90% of the stuff that's written in sales books is bullshit because it's not necessary. So here's where I'll ask myself a question if I'm looking to improve. Where is the result happened, but this is not done? So for years, people would come from the place of reading in like sales books, you have to build rapport. So there would be this whole like 6 or 7 steps to building rapport. And I would say, all right, so where do people buy? Where do people spend a lot of money where rapport is not needed? Huh? A lot of money. Let me back up. You don't need to build rapport for something that you want. Okay? You need to build rapport when you're selling something that somebody needs, but you haven't turned it into a want yet, right? So here's the place where people buy, where rapport is not necessary, and they turn over actually all of the trust to the other person, the emergency room. The emergency room. So I want you to think about this for a second, because this totally works. I've been doing this for 20 years. You go to an emergency room, say you had a heart attack, okay? You don't sit there and say to the guy, what college did you go to? Where'd you do your residency? Show me the sheepskin. You know, prove to me you're an emergency room physician. Well, you don't ask any of those questions. You're like, just stop the bleeding. You know, do whatever you got to save my life. Why? Why do we do that? Huh? Yeah, but why is it? But if they took you to a McDonald's, it wouldn't work, right? The frame. You're at a hospital. The doctor is coming into the hospital. You'll even do it with a doctor, like if they call the doctor in and he's in his street clothes. Because you're in the hospital and somebody told you this is the doctor. He's like, I just got off the golf course. They told me you had a heart attack. So they brought in, I'm a cardiac surgeon, right? Because you control the frame. So when you control the frame, what happens in another person's mind is it automatically assumes. The important part about this is your mind puts together the picture that it wants to see, that it's already programmed to see. So you're in distress, which means that you're focused on the problem. Here's my problem. I'm focused on the problem, the pain of the problem. Now I know that I need help. So there's an urgency there because I just had a heart attack or my leg got cut off, you know, because a lawnmower ran over me. You bring me to anything that resembles somebody that can help and I'm in. I don't need any more information. That completes the picture in my mind. So you have to ask yourself, in what you sell, how can you create that frame right from the very beginning? How can you create that frame right from the very beginning? Because you eliminate so much time. It gives you so much leverage with the other individual. This way, what ends up happening is that you're removing pieces of the sale that appear to be a battle for most people. Right? You don't have to jump through all these hopes whether a person, do they like me? I don't care if you like me. Do you want the result or not? That's it. But to do that, you have to create the frame that you get the result. Right? Because then that's not a question. You don't want that to be the question in their mind. If that's the question, you go into this, prove it to me, I have to see more, prove it to me, I have to see more, because you can't satisfy the doubt in their head. That's the worst kind of position to be in sales, where you're battling the doubt in their mind. It's like, how do you resolve that? It's their doubt, it's not yours, so how do you resolve it? So just to give you an idea, but this is a teaching that I do around belief. And the idea here is that how do we know we have a belief? What would be an example of how we know that we have a belief? So the way that we would know that, first of all, is it would show up in our results, okay? So we have that. But the triangle represents us. And the way that we know that we have a belief is that our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions are all congruent. There's no doubt in any one of those places. You have beliefs where you have absolutely no doubt. Like you don't doubt your name, right? You don't doubt your spouse's name. I'm sure there's like, you know where your house is. You know what color your car is. Very simple things. There's no doubt in your mind. I could go up to you and I could say, your car's red, and I could say, your car's blue, and you'd be like, okay, you're smoking something. There's no way I could make you doubt that the color of your car. Right? But if certain things happen in different situations, doubt can get into your mind and you can't control it. So with a belief, what can happen is if I can get doubt to attack your thoughts, which is the first place doubt shows up, what I have to do is I have to provide some kind of circumstance in order for that to happen. Now, I usually show this within the context of when a person begins to change something, what's the process that's going to happen that's actually going to start to hold them back? And it usually shows up as a circumstance. It shows up as a result, a circumstance, or a change in your environment. Okay? What does that do? It distracts your thinking. So it causes doubt to actually show up where your thinking is. The second doubt creeps into your thought process, then worry and fear are going to show up in your feelings and your actions automatically. It just happens automatically. You go from doubt to worry to fear. Now, what these are is not necessarily anything that's happened. Like, you don't have the result of this yet, but what you have is the suggestion. But the suggestion is enough to change the frame. So I want you to watch the screen, okay? So all I'm going to do is give you the suggestion of a black triangle, and your mind will put the rest of the pieces together and you'll see it. But it's not actually there. There's no black triangle on the screen, just the suggestion of one. But because you know what a triangle looks like, it's literally burned into the cells of your brain. All I have to do is give you the suggestion of what one looks like, and your mind will complete the picture. Now watch the screen, if you don't believe me. If I take away the suggestion, you will not see a triangle. You see? If I put it back, there it is. And you cannot not see it. So this is the power of what our brain does automatically, all on its own. It looks for patterns that are already recognizable. And once it comes across a pattern that's already recognizable, it completes that picture. Then we have a file in our brain that tells us what do we do with that picture that's already recognizable. So if I hold up tissue, right, I don't have to tell you what this is. You know what it is, and you know everything that you could use this for. No explanation needed. You have multiple experiences with this over your lifetime. But you do with most things, right? So the whole idea is that if you control the frame, the pieces of the all the parts that stop a person from buying are removed. Because they're seeing something completely different than what's keeping them in the problem. That's the whole reason why you want to control the frame. Within the conversation, these questions are controlling the frame. That's why I said one of the main things that you want to do is control the conversation right from the very beginning. If they're distracted, you can't control the frame, can you? Nope. If you don't know what their belief system is about renting a house, you can't control the frame. Because you can't get them to focus on the benefit versus what's making them feel uncomfortable. And here's the thing. This is why this is so important when you're coming from a value perspective from yourself. These are people that are contacting you. These are people that want to do this. It's not like you're trying to convince somebody to do something that they don't want to do. But they can't get themselves to move from the desire through the problem to get the outcome. So that's what all a salesperson does, is help a person make that journey. They go through that process. In the idea with the kids, that they see it as pimping out the kids, something's controlling that frame in their mind. So you have to change the frame. And if you can't change the frame, you have to change the client. Because you're never gonna sell enough. That's also a clear indication you have the wrong client. You don't have your ideal client. They may like what in her case with the kids, the people may like the idea, but they don't want the outcome bad enough to change their belief system about what needs to be done about it. So all they do is find out what's wrong with it. You can't change that frame. You can't. So you have to change the client, right? You need somebody that does not have those value conflicts in place in order to buy. A person that has a value conflict will never buy from you. If part of them says this is good and part of them says this is wrong, they're not going to buy because they're not going to feel good. The part that says it's wrong is going to make them feel shameful or guilty or whatever it might be. So these are clear indications that you're in the wrong client base. Great idea, great product, great service, wrong client. Okay? So this is all presupposing, controlling this frame, that the person wants what you have to offer. Does that make sense? Okay? All right. Become your own power of influence. First thing is influence yourself. The sale is made with you first. So what does this mean? This means we're going to take a couple of minutes and you're going to think about what you sell. Okay? And I want you to be, again, nothing changes unless you're 100% honest with yourself, right? So you got Val's quote here. The degree to which a person can grow is directly proportional to the amount of truth that he can accept about himself without running away. I've never seen a quote that has more truth in it than that. That's what stops people. They can't see or face their own internal value conflicts. So what you need to do is you need to be honest about any doubts or fears or incongruencies you have about your own product or your own service. Really seriously think about it. Because one of my jobs is to find out, number one, is it real? Let's find out if it's real. You may actually have a problem with it that's actually real. So then we have to figure a solution for that. Number two, if it's not real, why is it real to you? So it's either real or it's real to you, but usually not both. And we just need to fix that so you can move through it. Because if you're not 100%, you have to be like evangelical about what it is that you sell, right? Because that's what people are going to buy. They're going to buy your energy around it. And if you don't have the energy around it, what you're doing is sending what they call a double binding message, which means on one level I believe this, but on another level I'm really not sure. But I'm going to do it anyway because I need the money. And then people pick up on that incongruency. You have to realize everybody has the ability to read energy. They may not know what they're picking up, but everybody's had an experience where you've been around somebody where you're like, that's a creeper. I don't know why it's a creeper, right? But I know it's a creeper. So does that mean the person's necessarily a bad person? No, but what it can definitely mean is that there's a lot of confusion going on in the mind. And they're sending out a completely different message. And your mind is picking up on those patterns. So you're seeing these black triangles with this person, and you're like, no, everything else looks good, what they're saying about this washing machine that I should buy, but something's not right about this dude. So let's get out of here, you know. Everybody's had an experience like that, right? Yes? Anybody not had an experience like that? Okay. So you have the ability to read another person's energy. That's exactly what you're doing. You're picking up their energy and you're reading it. Don't think for a second that other people are not picking up yours and reading it when you're selling. They are. And here's the way that this shows up. It's not like a flag pops up in their head and they're like, oh, this is a great person. I'm going to do business with them. What does pop up is, oh, something's not right with this person. I'm not going to do business with them. It's never this is a great person. It's always something's wrong with this person. So what we want to do is have them be completely at ease and they're not focused on that at all. But the only way that that happens is if you're in 100% congruent energy around your product or service.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.